Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite podcast, where editors of Managed Healthcare Executive chat with healthcare executives in the C-Suite and professionals. Our conversations are about the most important issues facing American healthcare today, such as its cost, effectiveness, delivery, organization, and its fairness. Listen in, learn a lot. Hello there, my name is Brianna Contreras and I'm Associate Editor of Managed Healthcare Executive. In this week's episode, I interviewed VillageMD's Senior Medical Director of Village Medical at Home, Dr. Tom Cornwell. Dr. Cornwell and I discussed the main benefits of primary care at home, which includes the benefit of cost savings for patients, maintaining control of hospital readmissions, and others. Dr. Cornwell also noted what has changed in the industry of at-home care and if there has been interest from payers like insurance companies and Medicare in the service. Hi, Tom. How are you doing today?
Great. Appreciate talking to you.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for making some time to chat with me for Managed Healthcare Executives tuning into the C-Suite podcast.
Great.
So to get started, can you first just tell me what your role is at VillageMD and what is the mission of the organization?
My medical career has been doing house calls actually since 1993. I've made 34,000 house calls to mostly homebound patients. And I brought this skill to VillageMD, which is this remarkable national primary care organization, whose mission is pretty audacious. It's to really achieve greater health for people by delivering the most effective, accessible, and efficient healthcare in the world is their goal. And they're doing quite a remarkable job.
That's wonderful. Thank you. And again, your role is medical director.
I am the medical director of the at-home program, Village Medical at Home.
Got it. Thank you. Now, what are some of the benefits of primary care at home, whether that be, financial benefits, just as much as others or...
Right. And I should say, too, that just in terms of home-based primary care, the modern day house call, I say that most of it is high-touch primary care. But there is an amazing high-tech capability now where I can literally on the same day get x-rays, ultrasounds on my patients in the home. I can draw any blood test I need in the home. And you have to spin down the blood within a certain amount of time. And we have centrifuges in the car that, plug into the lighter that we can spin blood down between patients. And so while it is largely high touch, just quality primary care, I can actually do more in the home than most primary care doctors can do in their office. And this quality care has been shown because there's this concentration of healthcare costs in the population where 5% of the Medicare population consumes 50% of all the costs, just 5%, 50%. But even more amazing is the costliest 1% consumes 22.5% of all the costs at an average cost of about $112,000 per patient. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these patients, not all, but a lot of them are because they're homebound with multiple chronic diseases. And their only recourse because they're homebound is when they get sick, whether it be severe or something little, their only recourse is to go to an expensive hospital, which for the frail elders is not only costly, but it's not the best primary care. So instead of having them go to a hospital for their primary care, we bring primary care to them.
Wow. Okay. That's wonderful. So say... when you need to go to the emergency room, you go immediately and you could be treated immediately. Could you be treated immediately with at-home care as well if that were the same situation?
Right. Like even, you know, Village Medical at Home, all of our discharge patients, we try to see within 3 days. The schedule can be very fluid that if there is an acute patient, we can try seeing them the same day to the best of our abilities, because one of the major changes that's happening with the health system now is going from, you know, the old fee for service system to what we call value-based care. And that is why there is such interest. You know, after doing this for 28 years, all of a sudden we're seeing so much interest in home-based primary care because it gives such wonderful care and it's been shown to save money. And so for fee for service, you bill for every visit, you bill for every procedure. The sicker your patients get, actually the more revenue, right? Because if you're sick and you come in, I can bill you. Where this value-based care, it literally is 180 degrees opposite in terms of revenue, where we're paid a certain amount of money per patient. And then everything has to come out of that, like their hospitalizations, their visits, their specialists, their tests, their CT scans. And so what our job is to give patients the best care so we can keep them out of the costliest, you know, part of the health system, which is the hospital. And nothing has been shown to reduce costs as much as home-based primary care, seeing those high cost patients that I mentioned to you, the top 1-3% that are just so costly. And by keeping them at home, we dramatically reduce costs.
Wonderful. Thank you. And that kind of follows into the next question I had was, you know, who is primary care benefiting the most? So again,
you know, my answer to that, and you can see me smiling, is it's literally everyone. And here's what I mean. And so obviously it benefits these homebound patients that, you can imagine just the amazing stories of these people whose only recourse was to call 911, and how I hear over and over again, what a difference it makes to know, instead of calling 911, we can call a compassionate, competent doctor to come to see us. And there's a whole, you know, dignity to that in terms of showing them how important they are to us. But so it obviously impacts the patients dramatically. Most of these patients that are homebound have caregivers that are taking care of, you know, the sickest patients in society. And so it dramatically helps the caregivers, but then it also helps the payers because, again, keeping people home dramatically saves money. You know, I had, you know, one of my patients was a younger, he was actually in his 40s, that we were asked by a hospitalist at the hospital I worked at. He had had 44 emergency department visits and 27 hospitalizations in the previous 1 year, 9 months, 1¾ years. Okay. When we started to see him, he only went back once in the next year, and half of his hospitalizations had been in the ICU for uncontrolled diabetes called diabetic ketoacidosis. And so, you know, going down from 27 hospitalizations to one, you know, now that's an anecdotal story, but we also have larger data. And the first data came from the Veterans Administration. They had a home-based primary care program that had 11,000 patients in 2002, they were spending $11,000 more on their house call program than regular home health because it costs more to send doctors and nurse practitioners and mental health workers and social workers into the home. And so the head of the program, Dr. Tom Eads, was told he had to cut the program. We can't afford $11,000 more per patient. He asked them, can you give me some time to look at all the cost data on these patients? And the data on these 11,000 vets were sent to the University of Pennsylvania. And what they found, I think, even surprised Dr. Eads. They found an 87% reduction in nursing home costs for the VA, 87%. They found a 63% reduction in hospital costs, including a 20% readmission reduction. And when they looked at all these cost savings in the hospital and nursing homes, it came out to a $9,000 savings per vet. And with 11,000 vets in the program, it came out to $103 $1 million savings
Wow.
by giving the vets what they wanted, $11,000 more care in the home. And I'll just tell you that that took Capitol Hill and Medicare by storm, that data, and has led to just some remarkable payment models in order to incentivize home-based primary care.
Wonderful, thank you. So how can at-home care keep hospital readmissions down, and can it keep admissions down now that more COVID-19 cases are rising and more patients, there's like a more of an influx in some hospitals?
There was already a dramatic increase going on in home-based primary care before COVID, but
right.
COVID has really accelerated it. And you know, for a couple reasons, hospitals were full. You know, we wanted to keep patients at home as much as possible, but patients weren't excited about going to hospitals that had all these COVID patients in them. Medicare really quickly answered the call in terms of supporting telehealth, but they also allowed things like starting oxygen right away on COVID patients in the home to try to help them get over the virus without having to go to the hospital. Obviously, PPE was very important, protective equipment so that we could, you know, protect ourselves when making house calls, you know, to these patients. And now, you know, the most effective treatment, it's called monoclonal antibodies for COVID-19. We're actually starting to give that treatment. It's a one-time infusion, and we're starting to give that treatment in the home, currently just in our Houston market. But again, it just shows the innovation and, you know, the value of home care. And I probably should, you know, just so that your listeners are not confused, Village MD is one of the largest primary care networks in the country. It started with only 14 family doctors or primary care doctors in Houston in 2013. We're now up to 3,000. Currently, only about 30 of those 3,000 are at-home providers. And so we are definitely in the expansion mode. I was just hired last year to, you know, to expand this throughout Village, but we're mostly a typical office-based primary care program. We also do significant telehealth, but then we also have this home-based primary care component, so we can really have the entire continuum of primary care to do the right care in the right place at the right time.
Wonderful. Thank you. Now, you mentioned telehealth, but what are some other things, possibly other things changing in the industry of at-home care? And for example, can you explain the John Hopkins Capable Program?
Oh, yes. So you've heard about that. It's you know, I say it's too good to be true. And so, again, I have been doing this for 28 years, and most of those years under fee-for-service, this was really a struggle, because it made no economic sense, because you just couldn't do the same, you know, number of patients in a day, right, as you're traveling. Well, now all of a sudden, because there's these new value-based payment models where you want to reduce cost, all of a sudden we've actually seen in this home-based primary care field over the past 3 years, about $3 billion of investment, you know, venture capital investment, private equity coming into this space to support organizations that are either, you know, exclusively home-based primary care or have a significant component of home-based primary care. And so that investment coming in that has just markedly increased house calls in this country has been a big change. But then, you know, also, you know, the technology that I talked about, you know, even in some of our markets, we have these scales that people stand on, and there's actually cellular technology in them, and that their weight is actually, they don't even have to call us, is automatically sent into our electronic medical record. And then there's parameters, this is for mostly heart failure patients, that if they gain a certain amount of weight in a day or a certain amount in a week, we get alerted. And again, this is that whole thing about trying to prevent hospitalization, find out ahead of time, you know, the information you need to keep them out of the hospital when you need to like increase their diuretics. And so that's another big thing changing is technology that's in the home, both diagnostic technology like I talked about, but also this remote patient monitoring of patients in the home. And then the therapeutic technology we can do like monoclonal antibodies. And then as far as the capable program goes, there's just so much innovation. The capable program is out of Johns Hopkins. And it is just this amazing program that sends an occupational therapist into the home for 4 to 6 visits, a nurse into the home for 3 to 4 visits over 4 months. The patients need, the criteria is they need to be low income. They need to have multiple chronic problems and they need to have functional impairments. And then the occupational therapist makes their home safer. The nurse helps them engage with their multiple chronic problems, you know, help with their weight, help them with their sodium intake for their heart failure, help them to control their diabetes. But what is magical about the program, and this is where healthcare is going, true healthcare is going, is after the second occupational therapy visit, we bring in a handy worker and the patient and the occupational therapist put together a work order. And we pay up to $1,600 for the handy worker to put in grab bars, raised toilet seats, ramps, smoke detectors, air conditioners, if they don't have one in our Georgia, Houston, and Arizona markets. You can imagine what a $300 air conditioner might do for an 85-year-old patient's health. And when you think about it, $300 doesn't always go very far in the healthcare system.
Right.
But how amazing is that not healthcare? You know, giving someone an air conditioner so they don't get dehydrated, you know, in their home. And so it really is just transformative healthcare where, again, we are given a certain amount of money to care for them and we can be so innovative in that care, and where the revenue comes from is keeping them out of the hospital, which no one wants to be, right?
Right.
Does that answer the question?
Yeah. Yes, it does. Thank you so much. Lastly, have you seen interest from payers such as insurance companies or Medicare in the service?
You know, absolutely. And it's for, you know, what we already kind of discussed that, you know, because insurers have to pay for care, you know, they desire care to be better and less costly so they don't have to pay for it. And so, you know, we have had like even Humana just recently announced a desire to get more into this area. United Health has a home-based primary care program called Prospero. There's actually new plans that have been created, like Devoted, which is exclusively like home-based primary care, and they really support home-based primary care. And it's even amazing the people that are involved. Like for Devoted, former Senator Bill Frist is on their board. Former Health and Human Secretary Kathleen Sebelius is on their board. It really is amazing the caliber of people that are getting involved in this, as well as the financial support from both payers and investors in terms of spreading this in the country.
That's great. Thank you. And that's actually all I had for you. But Tom, if there's anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners that, you know, maybe I didn't ask you or we didn't reach to in the discussion.
You know, I think these questions, were excellent. I think you have heard that, you know, our mission is to improve the quality of homebound patients and their caregivers while reducing healthcare costs by enabling them to remain at home and avoid hospitals and nursing homes. And I think you heard that we really do that. You know, the one thing actually now that I think about that we haven't talked about is quality end-of-life care, which is a huge part of what we do. In my practice since 2003, about 20 to 25% of my patients pass away a year. 75%, over 4,000 patients who have passed away, 75% have passed away at home when that is what they wanted, compared to only 30% nationally. And again, this is not just fulfilling their wishes to be at home surrounded by loved ones. There are enormous cost savings. 25% of all medical costs occur in people's last year of life. And it's because 29% of patients are in the ICU within 30 days of death, which, when we know our time is coming, how many of us would truly want to be, on breathing machines hooked up to tubes? And so just another amazing part of home-based primary care is the incredible palliative care and end-of-life care it gives, these patients that, are at the, closer to the end of life.
Right. Yeah. Patients and their families who have to.
And their families.
Yeah.
Right.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and follow Managed Healthcare Executive on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. For more information on Managed Healthcare Executive, visit our website at www.managedhealthcareexecutive.com.